960 Mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
It's 8:02 Thursday morning. Hello, Calgary. Boomer and Warner in the Morning along with Ryan Finder. Tomorrow morning we are going to be somewhere. I was given the address. What quadrant are we going to tomorrow?
This is here? Right by the old Rockets house. Remember we thought he had the fix in?
Oh, yeah.
It's in Lake Bonaventure Way or something like that.
Yeah, is it Lake Bona something.
Somewhere there.
Bonaventure, Bonaventure, I don't know.
All kinds of
street names. So it is our Man Cave contest winner.
That'll be close to my house.
No, I need to throw this out there because I was somewhat overruled by way of email.
Ooh.
I'm sure they will both be very happy that I'm going on air with it. It was suggested to me that we should probably just not bother doing the whole nachos thing tomorrow because they got to go and get groceries.
Excuse me?
So somebody had said, "We'll just don't worry about it." It has become kind of tradition that of the Man Cave contest, one of the perks is having you carve up your nachos in the kitchen. That we have a little 7:45 to 8:25 nacho feed.
Yeah.
I would be disappointed if for nothing else, just history and keeping with tradition.
The only downside to the nacho feast is the 20-minute later lull in activity.
I thought your best effort ever on this show was at Keith South in Rocky Mountain House or wherever it was. I'd never seen you so efficient. It's like he was a man in his element, working the kitchen, making nachos. It was unbelievable. It was the best show you'd ever had.
Well, that's a good, you know what? I like the pull of Rocky Mountain House. It's the joke that keeps on giving.
He was in town the other day, flew in.
So yeah, we're going to be live tomorrow. The big screen is going up. The chairs, going to put those to work tomorrow as well. At somebody's house. I've got his name and his stuff here, but I don't really care.
He'll be famous tomorrow. Like,
I didn't win, so.
I don't really care who it is. So, yeah,
can't wait to be there.
Can't wait to come tomorrow, whoever you are.
I don't
really care who you are. But it'll be a nacho-free show.
What?
Unless we take this into our own hands and make.
So, if we want nachos, we have to bring them ourselves. That's the support we're getting.
Don't we have a promotions team?
I was told by promotions that if we wanted materials for nachos, I had to give a list yesterday, which I did, but yet it had to be done by last night. The grocery shopping was going to have to be done last night for whatever reason.
It's 2 days away.
I wasn't going to do it, so I wasn't going to complain and say, well, what's going on? I wasn't going to do that. I just said, okay, well, here's what we need. A cheese, you know, tomatoes, jalapenos. We forgot jalapenos last time, remember? Wasn't going to make that mistake twice.
That's right. We did forget that. Kind of.
I'm going to have a stern word with the folks in promotions today.
Maybe the donkey who won, whoever he is, again, we don't really know or care who he is. Maybe he wants to go to the old Safeways today and pick up some grated cheese and some peppers.
I feel like this is a billion-dollar multinational corporation that's one of the largest in the country. We could probably afford the $40 of the promotions team to go and get some groceries.
You don't slide that through.
What? Wait. Whoa.
What is this?
Whoa.
Jalapenos? We're
Johnny,
not in the
Johnny Rogers in Toronto. Hey, whoa.
What's this receipt for?
I got this. What the hell are they doing in Calgary?
Jalapenos?
Two bags of Doritos? get the Rocket on the phone. Did you hear overtime last night, if you missed, a great game between the Lightning and the Rangers. Rangers tie it on a few different occasions. It's 2-0 Rangers. Tampa Bay comes back to tie it and then goes up 4-2. The Rangers score 2. They tie it at 4. Palat makes it 5-4. Boyle scores with about 2 minutes left to tie it. They go to overtime. And then it would be old Nikita Kucherov, who's been terrific for them this postseason, putting it to bed.
Here comes Kucherov, ahead of steam down the right wing at the red line. Across the blue line to the center point. Shoots! Score! Score! What a shot! Kucherov! Kucherov! The Lightning win it! 6-5 in overtime!
Now, that is absolute nonsense. But I do ask you to listen to his color commentator, the one and only Phil Esposito in the background with his creepy old dude laugh.
Across the blue line to the center point. Shoots! Score! What a shot! Kucherov! Kucherov!
So basically all he's not doing is pointing down at the ice. It's like he's pointing down at Long. He's nutty.
And he's a former Ranger, too. He shouldn't be taking so much joy.
He doesn't know that.
Not one ounce of evidence. It's the same as this bullshit about Marty St. Louis being traded to fucking New York for Callahan. Because he doesn't get along with Yzerman. What a bunch of shit that is. Don't give me this shit. You're going to trade Marty St. Louis, who has a no-movement clause. He doesn't want to leave. For Callahan,
who
the kid, I like him. He's a heart and soul, but he couldn't score more than 25 or 30 goals in his fucking lifetime. And he doesn't play all the time because he gets hurt because he plays like he's 6'5".
He had 24 goals this year.
Callahan.
Yeah, good old Phil. He's crazy.
He's wound up.
He is wound up. I don't know what I like more. The score! or when they get scored on, it's like, oh no. Oh, he's just lying on the floor in the background in the fetal position rolling around. Oh,
what a bunch of
What a bunch of shit that is.
That is the gift that keeps on giving, too.
He doesn't want to leave.
That's right. Threat.
That's right. I don't know. It was hang on.
6 goals on Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, okay, is that what we want, too? Like, I was pretty entertained. I'm a defensive defenseman.
Who?
I'm a, you. Or was.
Oh, you.
I was a defensive defenseman. And I would think that I have better appreciation for defensive hockey.
I need to jump in with a quick sidebar.
But
I'm going to stop you right there because you were a defensive defenseman. But we found out this morning you're also a two-sport athlete.
Whoa.
That's true.
Can you tell us about the information that you have
You're really jumping around, but sure.
I'm
proud of it. If you have access to the Saskatoon, Saskatchewan City Elementary School City Records, you will find in the shot put department, one said Rhett Warner's name.
Apartment?
Now, I was in grade 8 a long time ago. There's been a lot of youth come through the elementary school system in Saskatoon. Can't touch it. Can't touch that shot put record.
So you have the reigning school record for shot put.
It's still there. It is still.
What is shot put again? Is that the one with the bow that you throw?
The truth is in the pudding.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, whatever. You brought it up.
Could have been a world-class track at.
Who the hell cares?
So anyway, you were a defensive defenseman, but you enjoyed
last
watching
night's game. 11. And is that we talked yesterday about, would we make the nets bigger? How do we get the scoring up? Well, if was there post last night? Because would have been a 9-8 game? Is it too much?
Well, it's weird because I felt like at times watching the Ducks and Flames when it's in the third period, I could probably turn it off. I can probably go do something else. I don't really need to focus on this because I get the feeling I know where it's going. Last night, you couldn't turn away because you knew no lead was safe. McDonough scored to the third. McDonough, then Palat, then Boyle, off to overtime. It was, you had to sit and watch this thing. But I know that the purists will say that's, you can have an exciting 2-1 game, and that too is true. But I would think more often than not, you're gonna see fans jacked about a 6-5 than a 2-1. And I don't know that, like we had said yesterday, if you maybe make the nets a little bit bigger or whatever, I don't know, do we immediately get to 6-5? I don't think so.
No. Helps. The other thing about this game, I forget, Rangers are up 2-0.
Yep. Yeah.
10 minutes in, 2-0 like, Rangers.
And with the Rangers, you're thinking, well, that it's lights out. It's over.
They protect a lead like nobody else.
They are as good as there is at winning these low-scoring games. You can't give them two.
2-1 score, Rangers win. Seen it all postseason.
And I don't know if I can cheer for the Lightning. There's just too much.
I get it for you. I get that.
Well, imagine if we get Anaheim-Tampa. Like, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but are there two markets that... Exactly, right? Those fan bases, they've been hanging in since the 60s. You see them playing in their backyard.
But see, in the spirit of that, and it's, of course, because I'm a negative Nelly, but I don't need to see Marty St. Louis with another cup. And because he's now against the Lightning, the team that he had to leave, I'd be happy to see him take it right in the teeth. And, of course, in the West, absolutely under no circumstances, 100% no to Kessler getting back to a cup final, let alone winning.
Yeah, I don't want him having the opportunity, right?
He doesn't even need to get any closer than he is.
What if he gets injured and they win?
Have a Prince of Wales trophy.
Ring. His name will be on it. No. I don't care. Stay healthy, but lose.
Prince of Wales for the East, but yeah.
That's right.
I get your point.
What's the one for the West?
Campbell.
Oh, yes, the Campbell. I got one of those, too. It's all rusted out. Found it.
Drinking.
What are you talking
found
about?
Found it the other day.
You know, the Western Conference Championship, the old Campbell Clearance Conference.
So you each get one for winning
it? Campbell.
And it's rusted out?
Well, it doesn't look that good.
A little mini one.
Oh, my God. Dude.
I found it.
He lost his gold medal from the World Juniors. Why do you think he's treating this thing with
it? They can't do that!
Come on. A lot of reaction coming into your shot put record that is still intact in Saskatoon. And yes, it's... A lot of people, again, it's like a hanging curveball. Shot put record. Well, we all didn't get to spend 4 years in grade 8.
Pretty easy when you're 16.
What they're saying is
cute. Never failed. Well, I failed the class. Never failed grade.
You did get your grade 12, right? You didn't leave after 11. How'd that work?
La, 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 la.
What's happening now?
Doug says I was a star.
Is that right, your old man?
So proud
Isn't
of
that
you.
Cute?
T-U-G.
Isn't that cute?
Papa Warner. Still love you, son.
Now, is he here or is he in Toontown?
Must be having rum in his coffee this morning.
Toontown or here?
Toon.
Wait, selling
tractors. Aren't they out or is it any of the other ones?
Yeah.
So here's my question. I'm just going to pretend like he's not listening right now, but he clearly is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he just sitting in his office at work listening to this show every morning? Like, how does he get away with this?
Hey, it's sales. Just make your number.
He climbed some sort of, I don't know if it's a corporate ladder, but he made his way up to a point and then somehow slid out a side door and into a back office where no one knows that he's still there.
Is that right?
He's there, but he's...
So is he sales?
Nobody knows, right? It's...
Jason DeForest, you are a hero.
He says he's an executive.
He's an executive.
He's a bigwig. Doug. Dad, you know I'm gonna be like he's crying in his office. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. I love you, Red. The man on the moon. I listen every day, Red. That I don't know when, but we'll get it's together. It's his last show in studio, boys. You know we'll have I know you're time, done man. With the show. I'm here in Saskatoon, buddy, if you ever want to come visit.
We'll go fishing.
I'm an executive. I can get time.
Catch some walleye.
He's got the bad back going, too.
Yeah.
Pulling out posts for his gate at the house on Sunday.
Oh!
He hit the floor. No one was home. He couldn't get up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Retro.
Yeah. Down and out.
Pop Warner. Oh, hi, Doug. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have his good time then. He's what?
Now he's as mad as Weimer, is it?
Is that right?
Who are those jerks you work with there?
Somebody else, again, the shot put record really resonating. That's almost as great as Al Bundy having four touchdowns in a game for Polk High.
Polk High!
8:17, Duhacik coming up. We'll chat hockey, obviously, our NHL insider with Mr. Duhacik when we come back. 17, make it 18 minutes after 8 o'clock on your Thursday. Good morning, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Follow the show on Twitter at Boomer and Rhett. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hockey insider Eric Duhacik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Score winning price. Save $3,250 on a 2015 Kia Forte. Pay just $17,180 or lease for $89 bi-weekly. Barlow and 23rd or EastsideKia.ca.
I know people in Alberta love it when we talk about Toronto, but I'm going to start there with you, Eric. It's like a wrestling angle. Mike Babcock. A chair shot to the Buffalo Sabres, the double middle fingers to the Detroit Red Wings, and then he joins the hated Toronto Maple Leafs. What a goon. What a villain.
Yeah, that's the question.
Well, that's the observation anyway. It seemed like it was always going to be, he's going to go to Toronto, like over the last 6, 8, 10 months.
Right.
And then in the last 4 weeks, it seemed like, well, good chance he stays in Toronto. He's good friends with Tim Murray in Buffalo. What about Edmonton? The Toronto thing had really kind of gone down to a dull roar, and then all of a sudden, just like that, not only are they back in the picture, they're the landing spot.
Yeah, exactly. Well, first of all, I was never part of the group. You know, like at no point did I ever suggest to you or anyone else that I thought Babcock was going to Edmonton. I always thought that when the season ended there, it just seemed like a logical fit for Todd McClellan, and that's the way that played out. Now, the Babcock thing, the thing that surprised me a little bit by this decision was the fact that I've known Babcock for a long time, and he's one of the most competitive people that I've ever met in my life. And you have to be competitive being the National Hockey League, right? And you know, some people, you know, wear it on their sleeves, and some people that competitive thing is really intrinsic. But you have to have it to a large degree to be successful in professional sports. But having said all that, I've still never seen anyone more competitive than this guy. I mean, he's crazy. He's crazy for winning and you know, being the best, and he's got a big ego and all these things. And it's pretty obvious when you're around him that you know, he doesn't try to hide that. So what I know of him as a person, and then, you know, then what I see of Toronto as a train wreck, that's the part that didn't compute to me. So, but when you hear the money, you know, then it's like, okay, well, that explains everything, you know, and I'll be very interested because this press conference is going to come on television in about 35 minutes. I just want to know how honest he's going to be, because, like, he will say all the right things, you know, the challenge, you know, building something from the ground up, they'll build a statue to you outside the Air Canada Center if you ever get this thing turned around. All that will be true, and all that will be the usual hockey rhetoric, but the bottom line is it was the money. I mean, this whole idea that you know, $50 million for a coach, it's a staggering sum, and it's just it's like, the only analogy I can think of is when Patrick Waugh got raised to $4 million from about $1 million. And I remember, you know, at the time, Glenn Saylor said, like, what happened to all the intermediate steps? What happened to all the, what happened to $2 million? What happened to $3 million? How did they happen to get to $4 million right away? And it made a huge difference in terms of how player compensation went. You know, that he just leapt through, you know, like a whole bunch of different intermediate stages and you know, kind of, you know, quadrupled his salary as a player. And that's what's happened now. You know, and is this going to be a one-off or an aberration, or will this mean that coaches, you know, across the board are going to start being paid more? If Mike Babcock, you know, this is a negotiation. If Mike Babcock is worth $8 million in his first year, then I'm worth a quarter of that. You know, because of the, I think, to the best of my knowledge, and NHL coaching salaries are not widely circulated, and there's a lot of speculation, and no one can say for sure. But I think most people agree that Joel Quenneville at $295, which is interesting, didn't crack the $3 million barrier, is the highest, and that when Julian got his extension, it was around $2.5 million. And the best compensated coaches up until now have been paid around $2 million or even a shade north. But there's a lot that are at $1 million. And I remember, you know, hearing that when Carolina hired Bill Peters, one of the reasons was that he was prepared to take $750,000. So this, it's crazy how much money they threw at him. And let's be honest, I mean, we would all be that. Like, if somebody came to me and said, you know, instead of your modest sports writer salary, we're just going to give you four times that, you know, to come to Toronto. Well, you know, thanks, boys, but I'm on the I'm on McCowan show.
Hey, Eric, how much influence, because in my opinion, it's not as much as NFL football, but how much influence can an NHL coach have?
Well, I mean, you played, so I'm, you know, you probably have a better sense of that than me. I think considerable, in the sense that, like, if you have a bad coach, or if you have a disorganized coach, or if you have a coach whose message has worn thin and the players are tuning it out, I think that the team stops playing. I mean, in today's NHL, it's, you know, the systems are so organized that, you know, the good teams are so efficient. They're just in the right place at the right time. There's a kind of a choreography to hockey that probably wasn't there. Certainly, you know, like, I haven't played for 40 years or 35 years, however long it was. But when I was playing, I just remember it being, you know, more up and down, and just, you know, like, you go out there and play, right? You go out there and play. So that game has completely disappeared. At the professional level, you know, like, you have to be in the right place at the right time. You know, take away time and space is a cliche, but that's how the game is played right now. And so I think a coach that can communicate that message very clearly. This is why I like Todd McClellan, because he's a really good communicator. And to me, communication isn't about repeating the same thing 100 times. It's about trying to get a consistent message across, but varying the message if it doesn't sink through the first time. So, you know, when I see teams that where the message clearly hasn't sunk in, like Edmonton, you know, I put it to coaching. The fact that, you know, that they've had, you know, six different voices in 5 years, and that the people who have been trying to communicate what they're trying to teach, that message isn't getting through. So to me, an efficient, effective coach is one that where the light bulb goes off for 90% of the guys. Okay, this is what I want to do. This is how we have to play. This is my role in this grand scheme of things, that of system of how we're trying to play. And it's, I think if you have a coach that can communicate that, where, you know, suddenly, you know, what is that they say, everybody's on the same page, that's valuable. And that certainly is more valuable than, you know, like the 18th guy on a roster. And when you think about what coaches traditionally, like, a lot of coaches are being paid the way a fourth line winger is being paid. And so when you think about, you know, in the grand scheme of things, who has a greater impact on the outcome of a game? Is it the guy behind the bench directing traffic, changing lines, developing strategies, you know, keeping guys happy and motivated and all those things? Or an interchangeable guy in your bottom five players that if he wasn't there, you know, you could freely substitute someone else in there and it wouldn't probably make a large difference on the outcome of a game. So I guess that's a long answer to, you know, considerable. I think he can, the right guy, can have a considerable impact on what you see on the ice.
So where does that leave Toronto still needing a general manager in terms of the rebuild, or maybe even making do with what they have rather than shedding parts? What do you see them doing?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. You know, it does feel a little bit like the cart before the horse, doesn't it? The idea that, you know, I wrote this in our paper today, but, you know, I've talked about hockey a lot with Scotty Bowman. You know, we're on this Hall of Fame selection committee, and I've just been dealing with him a lot over the years. And the one consistent message that comes through when you talk hockey with Scotty, who's the winningest coach of all time, like, you know, 500 ahead of the next guy, is that you have to have the players. You have to have the players. And that seems self-evident, right? I mean, but when you reflect on Scotty Bowman's career, you know, he had the players in four of his five stops, and he didn't have the players in Buffalo, and he couldn't get the job done because ultimately a coach's influence only goes so far, but it stops, you know, at the ice surface. And, that, you know, on the 200th by 85, you know, you have to have the players. And how do you get the players? Well, you know, you have to have a shrewd general manager. You have to have good scouting. You have to be a little bit lucky in the draft because, you know, like if a guy, you know, that you draft in the fourth round becomes an NHL star, well, if you'd known that, he would have gone in the first round, you know. So, you know, Detroit had Henrik Zetterberg. Detroit had Pavel Datsyuk. Years ago, you know, they had all of those Russians that they drafted in the late rounds. The reality is, you, as a coach, you can do so much, and then you have to have, you know, really good personnel. So Toronto doesn't have really good personnel, and certainly they weren't all working on the same page. So somebody has to, in the next, you know, 6 to 18 months, develop a plan that, you know, that either sheds you of Phil Kessel, or, you know, or maybe the answer is that Babcock goes into Shanahan and says, look, you know, if you're trying to trade Phil Kessel today, he's a depreciated asset. He doesn't have the value that he would normally have because, you know, he has consistently scored in the National Hockey League, and those guys are hard to find. Let me work with him for a year. Let me see if I can reach him. No, not many people have been able to reach Phil Kessel so far. But, you know, Babcock is the type of guy that his message may be, leave him with me. You know, leave Bozak here. Leave Lupul here. Leave Phaneuf here. You know, these are all guys that people say can't be coached. Maybe I can prove to you that they can be coached. So they're at a real crossroads in terms of what they do with their personnel, because it seemed like when they were dumping players at the trade deadline, you know, ultimately I think Dave Nonis, the former general manager, did a great job. He got a lot of decent assets in return for really bit parts. You know, when you think about Santorelli, and Daniel Winnick, I mean, you know, these guys did not make an impact in their new homes, and he got good compensation for them, but he didn't move the big pieces. And so now Babcock has a chance to, you know, to perhaps work with these guys and see if he can reach them. And if that's the case, then, you know, then maybe it doesn't really matter who's the general manager, because if you're not planning to do anything major in terms of moving pieces in and out, then you can muddle along with just this hockey operations department that they've got right now.
Eric Dehatchik is our NHL insider here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that the Tampa Bay Lightning are scoring goals. They, I believe, led the league in that category during the regular season. But they put six past Lundqvist in back-to-back games. They are that line with Kucherov, Johnson, and Palat has been outstanding. I know you talked about it on Tuesday with Ryan, but I kind of want to go back there. What are we seeing with the Tampa Bay Lightning? Because they are obviously full marks on being where they're at right now, but is this the next, not dynasty, but say Chicago Blackhawk, or the next team to watch in the National Hockey League? Because all of them are so young.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and you're right. I made that point on Tuesday, but the one thing that I actually intended to say that day and will say now to add to that point is that what I admire about the way Steve Yzerman has built that team is that he kind of went against the flow in the National Hockey League, because, you know, you're mentioning it. You know, you've got Nesterov, you've got Kucherov, you know, you've got Namestnikov, you've got Palat, and you think to yourself, wow, that's an awful lot of Eastern European-sounding names on that team. And what team did really well with Eastern block type of players? Oh yeah, the Detroit Red Wings, right? And that's, you know, there's been this trend in the National Hockey League. Everyone is afraid of the young Russians. You know, like they all seem to be turning into the Nail Yakupovs, more trouble than they're worth. You know, you put a lot of money and effort into it, and what happens? How come that, you know, how come they can't play? So how is it that Tampa has been able to do that? Well, I think that Yzerman looked at the Detroit model and said, you know, it doesn't matter to me what a guy's birth certificate is. You know, like if we like what we see of him, we're going to take a chance. And so I think you get an awful lot of guys that were ignored in the draft, like Palat, what was he, 200 and something in the draft. You know, people just aren't drafting Czech and Russian players the way they once were. And Yzerman, you know, to his credit, didn't follow the crowd and decided to go out and take a chance on some of these guys, and it's paid off. I mean, you know, a lot of the success that they're having is young players that anybody could have drafted and just chose not to because, you know, we're not going down that path. And so good on him for not being xenophobic about it and for going out and finding these guys. Now, you know, that's the first step. You identify these guys, and then they have to come in, and then they have to be as good as they are. So that's the one thing that you know, that was hard to see coming. And you're right. I mean, when you think about how young they are, if they are just building off of this, if this is the beginnings of, you know, like the types of careers that Datsyuk and Zetterberg had for Kucherov and Palat, then they could be good for a long time. But part of what I see there is too that youthful exuberance that they've got. They just play, right? They just go, and they're a fun team to watch. I know you guys were talking about it in the last segment. That's the same thing. You know, I'm watching from the outside, not covering this round. So, you know, as somebody that's just watching a game to watch a game, I don't want to see a tactical chess match on television. If I'm going to tune into two teams that, you know, I probably don't have a, you know, like most fans out there, you know, I was playing tennis with my son yesterday, and he's watching, but he's not watching because, you know, he doesn't hate any of these teams. He doesn't love any of these teams. So he's kind of waiting for the Stanley Cup final. But when you see a 6-5 game, you know, like you don't go to bed. It's like, what's going to happen next? So you're just entertained. And ultimately, that's what it is. It's the entertainment business. And there have been times this year when I've been entertained in the playoffs, and there have been times this year when it's like, oh, my goodness, you know, are we going to see another 2-1 game? Because there just wasn't enough scoring to suit me. And so, you know, when you see a team like this that's prepared to attack, that is willing to score goals, that is lighting up one of the, you know, best goaltenders in the National Hockey League, that's good for the business of the National Hockey League because it keeps people in front of their televisions watching at a time when maybe there's a temptation to tune out.
And it wasn't that long ago there were some media, even maybe some that sat in this room, that were crowing about John Cooper and why isn't he playing Stamkos and what's going on, and he's playing all these kids he knows from the American League. Well, those kids have more points combined than the entire team, so I guess he does know a little bit about what he's doing.
Yeah, and, you know, and lots has been said about, you know, Tyler Johnson and the fact that everybody passed on this guy and he's this little guy that couldn't play. You know, when I think about it, I have to look this up, but, you know, it wasn't just Tyler Johnson. I mean, they signed Corey Conacher too, right? Corey Conacher was signed, little guy, came out of college, had a really good half season in Tampa, got traded for Ben Bishop, basically, has, you know, been bumped around. I think he's playing in the American Hockey League now. He's Vancouver Canucks property. He's played for five different organizations in the last 3 years. I mean, you know, the object lesson is that not everybody is going to evolve into Tyler Johnson, a guy who came in last year, got a chance to, you know, play first line minutes because of the injury to Steven Stamkos and proved that he belongs. You know, Corey Conacher was a flash in the pan who came in and looked as if he could be one of those little Johnny Gaudreau types that made an impact, and you know, and his career arc has just been straight downhill ever since. So you just never know. The whole point is that you've got to try, and once in a while you get lucky with a guy like Johnson, and sometimes when you're unlucky with a guy like Conacher, you trade him for your starting goalie.
Yeah, I guess that works too, right? Yeah, not many swings and misses so far for Steve Yzerman.
Yeah, he's not even nominated for General Manager of the Year, is he? It's mind-boggling sometimes. Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you, sir. I guess quick thought, Game 3 and 4 in the West Conference goes to Chicago now, and you wonder what that crowd will do for the Hawks.
Yeah, well, I thought that was a real swing game because you know how it is. In the third round, if Anaheim's up 2, and if, especially if they win in triple overtime, boy, that deals a psychological blow to a team, even a team as experienced as Chicago. So, we have a series now, and I think that's good for hockey too because, you know, that was, again, a very exciting hockey game. I stayed up to the end. I can't believe I did. And I just think about how good Chicago-Los Angeles was last year, really one of the most entertaining series I've ever covered, and this shows signs of being the same. So, you know, it might not be the best matchup for Canadian hockey fans, but, you know, if you like hockey, if you just enjoy it as a purist, these are terrific matchups and very good teams, and they're putting on a show.
Thanks, Eric. Talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks.
Sportsnet 960 Hockey Insider Eric Duhatchik is brought to you by Eastside Kia. Score a winning price. Save $3,250 on a 2015 Kia Forte. Pay just $17,180 or lease for $89 biweekly. Barlow and 23rd or eastsidekia.ca.
Yes, that Mike Babcock conference that Eric Duhatchik was talking about will be on TV. It'll also be right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. In about 20 minutes time, we'll take it live. Elliot Friedman doing his thing there right now. Tap dancing basically is what he's doing. But at the top of the clock, when they go to the podium live, we will carry that for you. When we come back, what you want to talk about, get them through 960-960 on your mobile phone. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boomer talking sports in the morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey.
10 minutes away from 9 o'clock. The Fighters of Foo.
Where are they from?
I think they're from Esterhazy.
No.
Or is it Langenberg? I always get those two confused.
I thought it was Antonia.
Seattle, 94, they formed.
Oh, so just south.
Yeah, I thought.
Just south of Langenberg.
Wasn't Sycamose after
all.
Well, where are the Goo Goo Dolls from then? Is the Goo Goo Dolls I'm thinking about that are from Buffalo? Because then Buffalo would have something to hang the hat on still, but
yeah,
we don't have McDavid or
1986 Buffalo
Babcock, but we've got the Goo Goo Dolls.
The Googs. Nine away from nine. Let's again Babcock top of the hour. We'll go there live right now. Time for what you want to talk.
Talk about.
Talk about.
Talk about.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Purchase any vehicle at Varsity during the playoffs and get a signed jersey from team captain Mark Giordano. Show Calgary's colors and shop where Geo shops. VarsityChrysler.com.
Any chance we get her to come in studio rather than
Has she not picked things up for this whole show?
I think so.
Unbelievable work.
It's amazing.
What's she want to talk about?
I need to find out.
Yeah.
There'll be no talking.
We'll be listening. She can talk.
Awkward. With the new coach in Toronto, will Dion still wear the C? Or does Babs go in there and strip it?
Ooh, wow, great
question.
I'm
stripping it.
And do you do it right away, or do you let Dion fall on his face and then say...
Right now I'm focused on playing playing hockey and keeping on going in the right direction with our team here. First and foremost, that's what I'm focused on.
What about the rest of the stuff?
Yeah, there's stuff that will take care of itself.
Boomer, you got to put the bird. You got to put up the bird for Warner's last. It's not his last day. He's here tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day. Maybe we'll put the bird in the air tomorrow.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe
it's our
tomorrow.
Last day in studio with Rhett because we're doing the Man Cave show tomorrow, boys.
Is potato salad still trending in Calgary, or can I move on with my day?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Was it trending?
We just ate more in the commercial break.
It's one of those things, right? You can't walk by it. Just
a couple more.
Trending now in Calgary. Mm, potato salad.
You're in trouble, by the way.
With what?
Mr. Wagner at Fraction Energy Services is not happy.
What?
We're gonna
I can never tell.
We're gonna have to go chat it up.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What is any
apparently
reason?
Not enough plugging of.
Oh, of Fraction Energy Services?
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
It's pretty shameless right there.
I'll be honest. My boss says, I really can't do that kind of stuff. So for me to come on and just continually talk about Fraction Energy Services over and over.
Could get you in hot water.
I mean, I'd love to help them out because I do. I'm a big fan of Fraction Energy Services.
It was like that thing I had with cakeswithattitude.net. Absolutely not allowed to do it.
But if I keep talking about Fraction Energy Services, then everybody else is going to start chiming in and wanting me to talk about them. So please apologize to Mr. Wagner at Fraction Energy Services. Does potato salad count as a vegetable?
That's a trick question of sorts.
Why do I care if it counts as a vegetable?
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
What is the concern? What are we?
You just got right to the nuts and bolts of it there.
Yeah. So good. Any interest in from the Flames in Glen Cross, or has that bridge been burned? I think that's your answer right there.
That's two, Pinder, today that were very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
What was the other one?
Rocky Mountain House.
Yes. Old Keith.
Boom. Don't be jealous of Rhett's shot put record.
That's true.
The AV room you organized so efficiently still has a plaque up dedicated to your efforts. Does he call me a nerd? Is that...
Ooh, got a Sask Alta League update.
Oh, hit me.
The Burstall Braves fall 2-0.
To the Creek?
They fell to 0-2 on the season with an 11-8 loss to the Maple Creek Mohawks. Heard they corked their bats. Mohawks. Hmm. Hope the Bristol Braves don't take it too bad.
I don't like that Maple Creek crowd. My uncle lives there.
Ooh.
It's a tough neighborhood.
Boomer, Kerr said to ask about your bicycle accident. I don't want to talk about my bicycle accident.
Your what?
Really? Something happened, Dean?
It's when I was a kid. I've told this story.
I don't know if I've heard this.
This
if
awful.
I have, I don't remember.
It's one of the worst stories that continually gets told on these airwaves.
Well, I don't need to tell it.
Oh, here we go.
Well, I was a young man.
Here it goes again. This damn bicycle story.
It was late May, early June, actually about this time of year. The air was fresh. The birds were
make it stop.
Singing their spring song. School had ended for another day. Hopped on my bike and was excited to go home, drop off my books, go out play with the buddies. Maybe throw the ball around. I don't know. Play a little street hockey. Who knows from one day to the next what we'd do. But it was good times. Of course, you're very excited to get home, and as I was riding along on the side street, it was like right out of one of those TV commercials. I could hear it. I remember it to this day. It's a sound that'll never leave me. That unmistakable sound of screeching tires as a car was coming to a hard brake and stop. Never did see the car, but I remember it hitting me and the bike as I went flying through the air, landing clear of the intersection.
You got singed.
I did not get serraged.
Too soon.
Doctors felt that I probably, that the collarbone probably broke when I fell to the ground. And there's no telling when my leg broke, if it was on impact from the car or if it too was when my body came crashing down. But I laid there. I was so brave. So very, very brave. And I remember my mom. God love you, Mom. What's that, Jay? We're out of time. I remember my mom. God love you, Mom. She came running and she was teary-eyed. She was so worried. And I said, Mom, I'm all right. I'm okay, Mom. Don't cry. The ambulance came and put me on the stretcher. And the saddest part of this story is I got to the hospital and the work they needed to do on me couldn't be done in my small town. They were going to need to send me to Yorkton, Saskatchewan.
Oh, crap. Interprovince.
I had to go to Yorkton, 45, 50 minutes away to be treated for my injuries. But the saddest part of this tale was with my mangled collarbone and shoulder. The doctors had to cut off my Quiet Riot, Come On, Feel the Noise t-shirt.
Why?
Couldn't take it, couldn't lift my arm, it couldn't move me. I was immobile, Rhett. My Quiet Riot t-shirt. Months later, my auntie tried to replace that shirt, but it was a Twisted Sister t-shirt. Oh. Not quite. Where's the music?
You're cut off.
Where's the music?
We're going to the mic now.
We're out of here.
I broke my leg and my collarbone.
Yeah, we don't.
I got hit by a car.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder, brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Hurry in for 21st anniversary employee pricing with discounts up to $16,129 and financing from 0%. Offer ends May 23rd. Shop or geoshops, varsitychrysler.com.
Well, we'll never get those 4 minutes back.
Yikes.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan.